This morning, we have the pleasure of having somebody to come and lead us in God's Word. This morning, Mark Ingalls, who is a retired Air Force chaplain, 25 years in the Air Force. He actually lives here in Colorado Springs and is the chaplain endorser for the Evangelical Presbyterian Church for our denomination. And I've known that, I saw that he had a big day at Presbytery the other day, seeing the chaplain's ministry of our denomination growing by leaps and bounds over the last year. So I know that we've been blessed by him in that, and I know you are blessed by God in seeing that ministry grow as well. And so I would like to hand it over to Mark Ingalls this morning to bring our sermon.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you, Michael. Yes, I was just in Memphis yesterday, so originally I was getting in at 11:45 last night, and thankfully I was able to get an earlier flight out and be here, so you're not having to watch me kind of waver back and forth with my eyes about ready to fall asleep. So I kind of wanted to start this morning with bringing everybody outside and kind of doing the Moses thing and saying, "Behold the promised land," because that is exactly what is around your church. You look at this, you look at the community, you look at the growth that's happening in all sorts of places, brand new schools, brand new homes, this whole open area that eventually will be developed, and I mean, just all sorts of things. And it is exciting to know that Michael and his family have come here to do amazing things alongside you. Is he supposed to do the whole thing? No. And he will absolutely covet your participation and partnership in the opportunities you're going to have here to serve this community and this church as it continues to grow. So it is great to see you all here. I put a name tag on here so I could just remember who I was, and then, but it truly is a joy and a privilege and an honor to be here for Michael Anderson's installation as pastor of Grace Community Church. And when you came in, did everyone receive this little guy? No. If you did not receive it, I'm going to ask someone, right, because I'm not going to let you get out of here without it. So we're going to grab them. I want you to raise your hand and keep it up if you did not receive this. This, I wish I could say I created this, the challenge, but it's the 30-day praying for your pastor challenge. And it's online. I gave you the link to go find it, and all you have to do is just punch it in and go to this. And I really want to, over the next 30 days, so that will be, 30 days from now, okay, you will have spent a moment, and it's not long, but a moment, or as long as you would like to, praying for Michael and praying for his family, okay? So keep your hands up. They are passing them out. I made plenty, so you can make sure that you get one. So the other thing is, what was the first song we sang? Okay, so that was written by the Gettys. Well, the Gettys are going to be coming here under the auspices of the EPC up at, for the Presbytery of the West meeting, kind of in, sort of in connection, a loose connection with the Presbytery of the West meeting, up at Parker Evangelical, right, Presbyterian Church up in Parker. And on October, do you remember the day? First week of October. They are absolutely amazing, and they wrote that song and many, many other songs. So I want to encourage you to put that in your calendar brain and make sure that you try to get up for that, because it would be tremendous. They are. I saw them. They came to Presbytery up at Ward, wasn't it? Was it Ward? Not Presbytery. General Assembly. They came to General Assembly. I can't remember if that was at Ward, and they were one. They have. When were they here? Oh, so who has seen them? Who has seen the Gettys before? You know what I'm talking about. It is a wonderful, wonderful, worshipful time. So I just want to encourage you. So that's a little kind of a side advertisement there. So take advantage of that. But anyway, Michael, this is wonderful for me. It's an honor for me to be able to come, not only to give you, Michael, an encouraging and hopefully thoughtful message, but also your charge. So I'm going to be combining it together as you are installed here as pastor of this congregation. It is also my joy and privilege and honor to provide a message of encouragement and kind of charge to you guys as well as the congregation that you are being that Michael, you're being called here to serve. So the words of Scripture in Revelation is the first Scripture I wanted to kind of share with you. It shares how Jesus Christ calls his local church as a golden lampstand. And so acknowledging this, you know, I'm calling all to remember that not only does Jesus Christ describe the church as a golden lampstand, but he calls the messenger to the church. And so that is what is happening today. And in the Greek, the word is angelos, or angel, or messenger, okay? So before we get into that, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity we have to come together. What a wonderful congregation of brothers and sisters here to celebrate the arrival of Michael and his family. And we just ask now that that we spend this time with you, that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit, and that you will show us what we need to hear. Help us hear. Open our ears. Speak the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you, God. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So this portion of Scripture I want to share is to consider the kind of that meaning for part of our time today. So here from God's Word, Revelations 1:20, it says, "As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So, Michael, as you know, there are many commentators, and I know some of these folks, who teach that when Jesus Christ was speaking of the seven golden lampstands and identifies those lampstands as the seven churches, and then he speaks as the seven stars that he held in his right hand, and then he says the angels of the seven churches, Jesus Christ was actually speaking of the pastors of those churches, those shepherds of those churches. We're kind of under shepherds in a way because God is the great shepherd, right? He is the master shepherd. We are kind of the under shepherd. So I'm going to mention that again. But we are called here by God, by you as a congregation to come here to become the guide and the shepherd local of this church, with God as the overriding shepherd of it all. Amen? Amen to that. So if he's the shepherd, what does that make you? Let me hear some baa. Okay. All right. So, yeah, you are the sheep. So when you have a shepherd, you're being guided. We are the sheep. We are just like the sheep for God and for Christ. And so when we think about that, when a sheep goes astray, what does he do? Does he just go, that's sheep, the wolf will get him, and that's it, you know, he needs dinner. So, no, okay, no. What does he do? What does Jesus do? What brings him back? Goes after him, brings him back, okay? And so that is what's important, too, as becoming the messenger, becoming the shepherd here at this church. He is going to be guiding you and leading you and supporting you and loving you and caring for you. And when you go astray, what is he going to try to do? He's going to try to bring you back. Does he have any intention to leave you to the wolves? No. Now, maybe some session members possibly at times, but no, he won't, okay? So he won't do that. So that's what we need to understand when we think about this. The messenger, the referring to pastor, the of the local church, referring to the concept of a kind of a guardian angel, as it were, of a local church. There can be no doubt that God has placed you here, Michael, as his messenger, okay? There is no doubt, as a star, not in the Hollywood sense of the term, okay? But my charge to you, my kind of anchored in this passage and informed by the compendium of pastoral theology and the Word of God, and it also includes the very charge of St. Paul as he told Pastor Timothy, and this should be up on there. Yep. We are in sync. Yes. All right. So it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Colorado has four seasons, although lately I've been wondering about that. But anyway, but you're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that word? Everyone say complete patience. Oh, my goodness, does a pastor need that, okay? Complete patience and teaching. And so Michael, I want to encourage you and charge you in the presence of God and these witnesses to be a faithful messenger of Jesus Christ, to be his, to be that goal for this golden lampstand, grace community, where Christ has planted you here. And to fulfill this, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt of that. The supporting encouragement of your lovely wife, Jenny, right? Jenny, and your kiddos. Clark, yeah, okay. And Reagan, all right. And Reed, that's the younger one. And then Brady, right? Yeah, so Brady's two. Terrible twos or good twos? Good twos, okay. So, and then this wonderful congregation and all the saints who will lift you up in prayer as well as your own remembrance of the grace of God in your life. So, to be a faithful messenger of Jesus Christ and to stand guard in the name of Jesus over the life and the work of this congregation, I call you to focus on kind of three what I think are necessary components of faithfulness in your calling and service here, okay? So the first one, which I've already talked about, is to be a faithful messenger of Jesus. The first one to be a faithful messenger of Jesus Christ is to be faithful to the message. You have to be faithful to the message. As the Apostle Paul called Timothy to remember that all Scripture is inspired, and as he called Timothy to remember to preach the word in season and out of season, so also I call you, Michael, that you must be faithful to the message in order to be a faithful messenger. Okay? They go hand in hand. And you have to be able to do that. And this is going to require something of you as well, of this congregation. Okay? For you, Michael, it's going to require that you be immersed in the Word of God. You must be. You have to be. Both the written Scriptures and the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes to you through the power and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, this should consume your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, okay? Now, 365 days a year, okay? In and a half, okay? All right? With the sacred message that remains solid in you, okay? As Spurgeon once said, you should be so saturated with Scripture that if you were cut, your blood would run bibline, or bibline, okay? So, in other words, you know, your vocation as a minister of the gospel, a student of the Word of God, and a man who discerns the expository truth from the Word and adorns your people with the jewels that you find as you dive into the treasures of the Word of God will be awesome and amazing each and every week. Now, will he be absolutely fantastic every week? Well, Michael, you have your work cut out for you. Wow. They didn't even hesitate. Goodness. So, anyway, you need to watch carefully that you are faithful to the message. You know, that you are studying the message by embracing it, by living it, by sharing it publicly from house to house. And folks, this is going to require something of you. Sometimes Michael is going to be, and I had to kind of chuckle, you know, because he's got this lock on his office door, okay? He probably also has a screen that comes down the window. Anyway, I'm not here. And so he is going to be immersed in the Word. He is going to be studying. He is going to be preparing. He is going to be involved. He is going to be counseling. He is going to be supporting. He is going to be doing so much. Besides being a family man, husband, and father of these four great kids. Are they great? Okay. Four great. Are you guys great? Yeah, okay. He nodded. Okay. So, but there's times he's going to be withdrawn. Not because he doesn't love you or, and you need to understand that and love him because of that. And knowing that he does this as he's doing this to you got to be like Jesus. Do you remember after he was healing in Capernaum when he went off early in the morning to find time with his father? Even Jesus did that. He was praying. He was sharing. He was also. Did Jesus ever take a break? Yes, he did. And he knew he needed to. Now, sometimes he would try to take a break. He'd even go to the other side of the lake, in a boat and try to. But, those people, Jesus, you're ours. We're going to take advantage of you. So they walked all the way around the lake. And so here he is coming up in his boat, in the boat, on the other side of the lake. And, hey, Jesus. Glad you're here, So, and then he feeds 5,000. So it's pretty amazing when you think about it, but there are times that you're going to have to take rest in the midst of all these things as well. And you need, as a congregation, to allow him to do that, okay? Some of you, bless you and I love you, but some of you think, oh, well, the pastor, all he does, oops, I'm not supposed to step forward to that line. All he does is, write a sermon and, he'll cancel here and there and do some prayers and things like that. And, that's probably a couple of hours for the week and he's done. Is that true? No, it's not. So you need to understand there are going to be times after he has shared God's message to you Sunday after Sunday, as he's cared for the flock, as he has cared for you, as he has cared for this community together with you, that there are times he's going to need to take a break, okay? So remember that. You're going to need regular periods of that, not only withdrawal to be able to prepare, but also that withdrawal to rest at times. So give him that, congregation. Okay? Amen? Amen. Okay, so I'm not even in the congregation part yet. But anyway, so we got to remember that, okay? Also remember that being consumed by the Scriptures and the sharing of it doesn't mean you are consumed by the work to express and share it, okay? If you understand what I mean by taking care of yourself, you have to take care of yourself. You have to have adequate downtime and family time. In the midst of your critical time of this part of you here as the shepherd of this church, okay, as their pastor, as their messenger. So you need to make sure you do that, okay? As I said, even Jesus took downtime. You need to do that, okay? All right? So make sure you do that. Don't get burned out. I know so many pastors and so many chaplains that are burned out. That are literally burned out. And so we need to remember that. As a church, as people, it's kind of when we first got to know Christ. When Christ came in, especially in a church setting, basically the church was given to you. They're embracing you, they're providing this, they're providing that. So we're used to having this give, 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 give. And that's not the way it should be. We need to give this way as well. Do you understand that? Okay. So remember that. So Michael, I say to you again, a faithful messenger of Christ must be faithful to the message. Avoid getting caught up in giving to the people what they want to hear. Okay? Rather, always focus on the living word, Jesus the Savior, and what he wants them and what he wants them to hear. Okay? Amen? And you will be faithful to the message. Okay? Second, To be a faithful messenger of Jesus Christ, you have to be faithful to the Master. Okay? So Michael, you know, my dear brother, remember how God saved you? Remember the sacred encounter that you had with Him, you know, a long time ago or a short while ago? I don't know. But in your own life, remember how the Lord was merciful to you? Remember how God was kind to you? Remember how the Lord was patient with you? And as you recall your sacred encounter, and it stirs up that faith that is within you through prayer and time in the Word and your own diligent use of the means of grace, draw near to Jesus, and He will draw near to you. It's just automatic, okay? And magnify the Master in the presence of these people and in the presence of this world, okay? The world is longing for meaning and for hope and for freedom from fear and so much more. This community here needs that. It needs that. Jesus, your Master, is the star to guide and support you, if you will, with you as His star, His messenger to this church. Okay? He will fill him with Himself. You will speak what He calls you to speak. He will guard you as He empowers you. One cannot separate the messenger from the Master. They must be one. Okay? That's critical. He's the overriding pastor of this flock. He's called you here to serve Him to them. Okay? Stay close to Jesus so you can represent Him well to these people. Okay? Stay close to Him. Third, to be faithful messenger of Jesus Christ is going to require that you remain faithful to the mission. So the mission of Jesus Christ is clearly laid out. We are to do what? Make disciples of all nations, all men, all women, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We are to teach them all things that He commanded. And the mission not only entails a global mission, which you must lead by making it your passion, but it involves a local mission, a very personal mission here, okay? To teach these people, to teach these children, to teach these families and those single people here and those widows and widowers and those God-fearers and those believers, and to involve them in this great mission, okay? Did you hear what I said? Involve them. Who's them? Right. Okay? Involve them in this great mission together here in Falcon, Colorado, and the people, you know. I mean, as I said, look at the opportunities that are happening around you, the growth that is happening around you. Those are families. Those are people that need Christ. And who's it up to? Us. Okay? Embrace that legacy. Build on it so that future generations will be saved. And this leads me to this thought. You know, Michael, the glorious result of all this is named by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 to 20. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Therefore, Michael, I want to remind you that the great glory and joy of a pastor, that messenger placed by God at a golden lampstand, the local church, Grace Community, will be to see souls safe in the arms of Jesus. That is the mission. Okay? You know? You guys are kind of fat and happy. You know Christ. Some of you may not. I want to encourage you, if you don't, take an opportunity to talk to the folks here that do. It doesn't have to be just Michael. He doesn't have the corner of getting to know Jesus, okay? All right? It's all of you. So if you haven't made that personal commitment to Jesus Christ, may I encourage you, may I just really, 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 really encourage you that you find out about it. And make Him part of your life. And Michael, his family, all of you, his extended family, can make that happen. Okay? It's really easy, but it's the most special thing you will ever, ever experience in your life. That personal relationship with Jesus. Okay? So as I come to the close on your part, and then your part's not going to be as long, but this is important. So it's my charge. It is my heart's deepest prayer to you, Michael, that you will know that glory and that joy on that day when you realize Jesus says, "Job well done, my good and faithful servant. You did good at Grace Community." You know? And the other places that he has used you before, and what you can do in the midst of here. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. May Jesus Christ himself grant you all that you need in every way to be the faithful messenger of Jesus Christ. So, faithful to the message, faithful to the master, and faithful to his mission. So lead by example, lead by love, lead by vision, lead by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's the key word there? Lead. No, that's a good one too, but lead. Okay? Lead. That's why they asked you and called you here. Okay? So Michael, I'm so thankful that I've been able to bring this part of the message in charge to you, you know, with love and prayer for its fulfillment in the Lord. And I do this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm so thankful for you. Now to you, church. This part's particularly for you. So 1 Timothy 2:1-4, it says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So this part is really directed to you guys. So if anybody is even in the least bit snoozing, give them a good jab, okay? All right? "You have called this man, this teaching elder, Michael Anderson, to be your pastor here at Grace." Ephesians 4:11-12, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Folks, he is not a hireling who will run at the first sign of trouble. John 10:12-13, it says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the little wolfie coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Not so with Michael. Nor is he a doormat for you to wipe your feet on when you disagree with him. Okay? And there will be those times. Okay? That, not the doormat thing, hopefully, but you will disagree with him. Neither is he the main course nor the pot roast for Sunday lunch after church to kind of be chewed on. Okay? All right? We got some great food out here. That's what we need to be chewing on. Okay, not on him. All right? He's been called by God, and he's been recognized by you, the congregation, to be your under-shepherd. I talked about that. Okay? To be the local shepherd here. Make it a wonderful journey of joy and not sorrow for him being here as your pastor. Amen? So Hebrews 13:17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning or moaning or everything else I've heard, for that would be of no advantage to you. After all, he has a high calling from God." Is that kind of important? Yes. God called him here to serve you. Remember that. Okay? Kind of what is that? It says, "God said it, so that should settle it." Something like that. You know? That doesn't mean if you have some constructive things to share, You know, if you're grumbling and moaning as you're walking out the door, oh, I'm not supposed to step forward, I keep forgetting that, and you're walking out the door, and you're like, why did he say that? Why did he have to convict me? Why did he have to, you know? And, or why are they doing it this way? Why are they doing it that way? Why don't they do the music this way? I tell you, Christians, I sometimes wonder if the term ought to be complacens. Okay, because we complain an awful lot. Instead of complaining, come together and work together and love each other so that you too may love the people that are beyond these four walls. Amen? You must do that. You must do that. Okay? So then, what are your responsibilities? What should you do in making it a joyful time here for our brother Michael and for his family? Threefold purpose. I'm such a Presbyterian. Everything's threes. Okay. Threefold purpose for your new pastor. Okay, first, the most important task you have as a church body is to pray. Pray daily. Okay? Now, this is a 30-day challenge. Okay, I did my 30 days. That's it. Not praying for him anymore. No. Is that right? No. You need to pray for him. When he comes to mind, pray for him, both individually and collectively, for Pastor Michael and his family and your church leadership. Let me tell you, Satan is having a field day destroying the lives and ministry of pastors and their families. He is. Your pastor is in the crosshairs all the times of the evil one. You know, with attacks that come both directed at his ministry, with attacks that will come directed at his family, attacks that will come directed at this church. I mean, it's just going to happen, guys. If you're not having any attacks, what does that probably tell you? You're not doing a whole lot. You're not being very effective. Because if you're not being effective, well, you're already doing what Satan wants. Okay? So attacks are going to happen. Attacks are going to happen. And this family is under the microscope. Okay? And, I mean, there's people in this community that would love to see this church fail, that would love to see you fail, that would love to see you fall. Okay? Is that true? Of course it is. There are. And these attacks can come from both believers and unbelievers. And some of the nastiest can actually be from the believers. So watch that, folks. Watch that. They can be relentless at times. Michael's integrity and credibility, like I said, is you know, and people are looking at that, you know. So I challenge you. They need your prayers. He needs your prayers. They need your prayers. I ask earnestly, not even a challenge, I just ask earnestly to pray on a daily basis for Pastor Michael and his wife Jenny, and along with their children, asking God to give him wisdom and to protect them as they faithfully serve our Savior. Second, you must be patient with Pastor Michael. Would you appreciate that? Oh, yeah. He's stepping, I mean, and I know I'm going to burst your bubble here, and I'm really, really sorry, but he is stepping into a flawed church. Sorry I burst your bubble, but it's true, okay? You're flawed. I'm flawed. We're all flawed people. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Okay? The church is made up of defective people who seek the great physician. And by God's grace and our collective hope, Michael will faithfully preach God's word and love you as God's shepherd here. It will take time for him to learn all your names, to learn this city of Falcon and Colorado Springs, and most of all, your idiosyncrasies and your quirks, okay? I know that's probably not talking to anybody of you here, but I'm, you know, just thought I'd throw that out. And it's going to take time for you to appreciate his leadership and his humor and his faithfulness to God, and yes, even his quirks, okay? You know, and I have a list of them if you need to know what those are. And I'm just kidding. Okay. But yeah, no, we all got them. okay? But I'd encourage you to put yourself in his place in understanding the challenge that comes from being the new guy in town, the new family in town. You know, it's tough as he tries to get to know you and makes himself part of the fold. I challenge you to pray for Pastor Michael and Jenny and to be patient as he leads you as your pastor and leads lost and broken people to the Savior. Okay? Finally, you must, and I meant to put this on a slide, but in big giant letters, think of them as huge behind me, participate alongside your pastor. You must. He and the church leadership cannot do it alone. Amen? 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 I believe you now. You did not call him to do your job. You did not call him to do your ministry. You called him to pray for you, to equip you, to lead you in carrying out the Great Commission given to all believers. Your faithful participation does two things. First, it reveals your support of the pastor, of the search committee, and the direction God is leading this church. Okay? Second, it's both an affirmation and an encouragement to your new pastor that you recognize that God is in this calling. And I believe it is. I mean, I don't know Michael that well, but I am really good at first impressions, okay? And I think that my first impression is really solid about this, but it's only going to be as effective as you participate in it. You got that? Okay. Hi, guys. Come on down. All right. That's really important. So, as I said, in getting to know Michael through a brief meeting, and those of you who have shared about Michael to me, he's going to seek a direction for Grace Community Church. Okay. Do you think it's all going to come from in here? No. It's going to come from God, and it's going to come from you. He needs your support. He needs your participation. He needs your love. The whole family does. I know he will be faithful in his responsibilities. I just know that. It may not be what is best for you or for him, but it will be what is best for the kingdom of God. And it will glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, it will be God who, through Michael, will inspire and instill a new vision for Grace Community Church to follow in the midst of this growing community that's growing up around it. Guys, you got a lot of work to do. Okay? You know, this place in a few years ought to be kind of bursting at the seams. Now, some of you, and I just want to be an encouragement to you. Some of you, kind of like just keeping it the way it is. Okay? It's nice size. We like each other. We love each other. We know each other. We already have plenty of food coming. You know? Got good music. You know? Is that the way Jesus did it? Did Jesus stay with the status quo? No. And he called? No. Oh. Give me five. Yes. Even from the little ones. That could have been the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah. That is so awesome. It's so true, guys. Okay? All right? So remember that. Also, guys, and let him lead in his time. Okay? All right? You know, the challenge is set before you. It's set before you. Okay? The other thing, don't put a time hack on God. Okay? All right? And I mean that from the deepest part of my heart. Do not put a time hack on God. Okay? If he is going to preach a longer message, let him. Don't be looking at your watches. when he's doing something really important. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:24-25 says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. So the challenge is set before you. Okay? Do you guys understand the challenge? Do you? Amen. You got to make it happen. You know, when I walk away, when the Presbyterian folks walk away, it's up to you. And Michael and his family together. Okay? So as I conclude this part, let us share in wisdom and in strength and in opportunities and in health and all of that and pray this for Michael. Let's pray. Father God, please encourage Pastor Michael by the power of the Spirit. Let his soul be refreshed with the love of Christ. Let him have faith for the future. Help him to keep pressing forward even when the way is littered with landmines. God, let him be refreshed by the fact that your grace is sufficient for him. Father, give Pastor Michael your wisdom. Help him know the way to go even when the way is not clear. Give him discernment. Give him supernatural strength. Protect him from sickness. Help him through by giving him energy to serve faithfully. Give him periods of rest and recovery. Guide him to still waters. Give him a supernaturally wonderful and healthy marriage and continue to strengthen the bonds between Michael and Jenny and his family. Encourage them, both in the ministry, giving them wisdom to manage their family to keep you at the center, not ministry. Father, please give Michael true, deep, sustaining friendships here as well. He needs that to help carry his burdens. Friends that are closer than brothers. You uphold him when he's weary. Lord God, be such a blessing that you have brought Pastor Michael here to this congregation. And we just thank you that he and his family are here. And I pray that as he faithfully delivers your word to Grace Community week by week, he will be encouraged to know that he's fulfilling your commission to go and into all the world and teach the gospel into this world. Strengthen Michael through all things, all people he comes in contact. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this dear pastor. With great thanks, be with us as this wonderful service of installation from Michael Anderson continues. In your magnificent and holy name, I pray. And everybody together said, amen. Amen. All right, so I am going to invite, as we transition to the installation part, the questions part of Michael Anderson and you, I'd like to invite Reverend Evie Baudette to come forward. And it's just great to have you, Evie. Keep in mind, and don't forget to do this. Okay? Thank you, Evie. Thank you. Yep. Okay. Thanks, guys.
I would like to invite Reverend Michael Anderson and his wonderful wife, Jenny, to join me up here on the platform. What's going to happen is Michael is going to make some vows to the Lord. Oh, I've got the wrong script. Michael is going to be recommitting and taking vows before you as the congregation, but he's really making vows before the Lord God. We know from the book of Ecclesiastes, God takes vows very, very seriously. He says we're never obligated to make a vow, but if we do make a vow before the Lord, it is very, very serious. And so I'm going to ask Michael three questions, and then some of your ruling elders will come up, and they will be asking you questions as well. And then, okay, so Reverend Anderson, do you reaffirm the vows that you took upon your ordination, and do you recommit yourself to them in the discharge of your obligations here? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Reverend Michael Anderson, will you seek to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and as a teaching elder, whether personal or interpersonal, public or private, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life, and to walk with exemplary piety before the congregation of which God is making you the overseer of. If so, say, I will.
I will.
And finally, are you now willing to accept the call of this church as pastor and relying upon God for strength, promise to discharge to it the duties required of that office? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Thank you. Now I'd like to invite Robin Anderson, your ruling elder, and Michael Engel, also ruling elder at your church here, to ask you some questions.
Well, as we've heard the message this morning, I'm reminded of what Session is probably sick of me saying, and that is shepherds don't have sheep, sheep have sheep. And so, hate to be just that practical, but this is what we're going to be willing to commit to do. And as Reverend Baudette has already said, we're making a vow too, and we shouldn't enter into it lightly. So let's take a few seconds, let's listen to this, and let's get an agreement and see where God's got for us. Okay? All right. Are you, the members of this congregation, ready to receive Reverend Michael Anderson as our pastor? If so, say, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Do you, here's the harder one, though, and I need you to hear it. Do you promise to submit to Reverend Anderson in matters of spiritual discipline, to receive with humility the word of truth? If so, then say, I wanted you to think about it. Because you know what? We're going to get cranky when he wants to preach the truth and it doesn't actually line up with us. So I'm giving you the opportunity to think that through. Are you willing to submit to that? And if so, say I do.
I do.
Fantastic.
Okay, and do you promise to support Reverend Anderson with your prayers to give encouragement and assistance in every way as Reverend Anderson seeks to instruct you in the things of the Lord and to lead you in the building of a kingdom of God in this place? If so, say I will.
I will.
Okay, and the last one. Do you commit yourselves to fulfill the terms of the call you have extended and to make provision for Reverend Anderson's needs that the name of Christ might be glorified? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Okay.
Jeff is going to come and we're going to actually officially install Pastor Anderson.
This all seems very formal or so, doesn't it? It's just part of what we do as part of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church to honor and to commit and to vow and all of those things. And so that's been part of this. We're going to finish this installation with a prayer. It's a prayer blessing over you as a congregation. It's a blessing over Michael and his family and his ministry here. And to do this, we'd like to lay hands on. And so, Michael, I'm going to invite you to come down here with Jenny. Invite your children over that are in here with you. Any teaching elders that might be in our audience are welcome to come forward. Teaching elders, those are pastors that have been so ordained. And ruling elders, whether you're currently a ruling elder on Session or have been on Session, please come forward. It's all of our chance to lay hands on him, to pray over him, his family, your church. Look at all these folks. For those of you in the congregation, I'm going to invite you to raise a hand if you feel comfortable doing so, extending your support, your blessing to them while we do this. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with joyful celebration for all the work that you are doing. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this church, Grace Community Church, that you would do so, Lord, in such a way that their light will shine and their purpose will be fulfilled here in this community, and that they will be able to reach out and witness for you. bringing others to their church and to a saving faith. We lift up Reverend Michael Anderson now. We lift him up for your blessing to protect him from harm, to give him energies when he's feeling like he doesn't have enough, to give him wisdom when he's looking for that leadership that he's providing for this church. We ask that you would bless his family, Lord, and give each of them a sense of love and care, encouragement, compassion from him as he extends not only to him, to them, but to this congregation. We pray, Lord, that you would be working in a mighty way, that your presence would be here. Come, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We have one last declaration to be a part of this. And Michael, I'm going to have you up here with me because this is sort of the end of what we do as an installation. Coming from our EPC, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, to which you are a part, and we do this in declaration of these proceedings. I, by the authority of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and of the Presbytery of the West, I declare that Michael Anderson has been ordained to the office of teaching elder and that he has been duly and properly installed as pastor of Grace Community Church in accordance with the word of God and the laws of this church. As such, Reverend Michael Anderson is entitled to be given support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.